Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, can we keep the lights on without setting the world on fire? That is, in a nutshell, the problem which politicians, policymakers and engineers across the world are grappling with as we struggle to transition our energy systems towards net zero. Well, the UK government last week unveiled six companies who will be invited to bid for contracts to develop small modular nuclear reactors. So what are these and could they help meet Ireland's energy needs? To discuss this, I'm joined by Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy at University College Cork, Dr. Paul Dean, and also energy systems engineer and co-founder of 18 for Zero, Sarah Cullen. You're both welcome this morning. Paul, if I can start with you, can you explain to us what these reactors are, these small modular nuclear reactors?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Nuclear is one of those things, isn't it, that always tends to grab the public's attention. And as you said correctly at the outset, you know, if you get this right, it can make a huge impact in terms of avoiding dangerous climate change. But of course, if you get it wrong, it can present a lot of dangers. Now, the thing that's very interesting about small modular nuclear reactors, you know, many of us will be familiar with traditional nuclear reactors. Anybody who has been to France over the summer on holidays will probably have driven past a very large nuclear power station. If you've been over to the UK, there's very large nuclear installations there, such as Hinkley. Now, they're very big, they're very large, they're very complex. The idea of small modular nuclear reactors is kind of like the IKEA concept. The idea there is that you take this technology, you build it in central locations, you standardize it, and the idea here is that you're able to replicate it, you're able to make it more efficient, you're able to get the cost down, but you don't build it at the location where you want it. In many ways, it's kind of similar as well to the jumbo jets that kicked off in the 1960s when people wanted airplanes. They didn't build them in the locations where the airports were. They built them in a small number of centralized locations around the world. It allows you to get things standardized, to get things, hopefully, get the cost down. And the idea then, if countries wanted to purchase this technology, you would simply ship in the technology into a country, you drop it in. And that's the great appeal, I suppose, and the conceptual attractiveness of this type of design. But it is still an unproven technology. That's the key point here. But if we get it right, it can do big benefits for right across the world.
So it's a concept at the moment. It's an ambition, is it?
That's correct, yeah. So it's not commercially available at the moment. So this is very important, I suppose, when we're having this debate. You know, these small modular nuclear reactors, they're not something for the next 10 or 15 months. It's probably something more likely if we get it right. And look, there's a lot of ifs around this question. If we get it right, it's something really for the next 10 or 15 years. Mm.
But what we're asking is, should we be in on the ground level here, Sarah? And on that point, why should we be in on the ground level?
It's not my position that we should be in on the ground level of developing them. I think actually just one small bit to add, there is one prototype small modular plant running in China and they're building their first commercial one, which will be exporting electricity in 2026. So it's a little bit further ahead and it's not really just conceptual as well because a lot of small modular reactors are various types of plants and some of them are just shrunken, like the ones that Paul described, kind of shrunken down versions of existing plants. So for some designs, all of the components are already proven. There's already supply chains in place there and design certificates have been granted for one of these in the US, and I think there's ones going through the process in Canada and the UK. So it's a little bit further along than just a concept. They do offer a lot of benefits as well. So having a smaller size means that, you know, you can slot them into grids that previously were too small to have nuclear power plants. And it makes it a more interesting option for Ireland than conventional power plants have been in the past. So I think it's definitely worth considering. And if we consider it now, then maybe, you know, as Paul says, years from now, if we decide that we want it, we'll have already done a lot of the groundwork. We'll have already kind of chipped away at the, you know, 10, 15 years build time development time by having done some work now. So if we did our assessment now to make our decisions.
And what do you say or how do you say we could be involved here? Are you talking about us just buying these things in from other countries?
Yeah, so that's the idea with the, like, it is like Paul described. We would be able to potentially either build a new purpose-built site for one of these, or for one or several of the reactors. The idea behind them is that they're modular. But also, there's a lot of concepts around the world to retrofit coal plants with these small modular plants, because the size of the these nuclear reactors are similar to a lot of the size of a lot of coal burners in coal power plants, and Ireland has a big coal power plant, so it's kind of easy to visualise how that might fit in with our infrastructure.
Paul, do you see that working?
Yeah, again, if we get the technology right, but I think there's a couple of things we just need to manage our expectations around here. The UK are very different in terms of their nuclear journey to Ireland. This is a reasonable bet, I think, for the UK to take for a number of reasons. Number one, they already have a very large nuclear industry established in the UK with a number of nuclear power plants operating. They have a very large workforce as well in the UK, Claire, when it comes to nuclear energy, about 70,000 people. And importantly as well, they also have a lot of companies who make equipment and make these existing devices already for the nuclear industry, such as Rolls-Royce. So I think from the UK perspective, it makes a lot of sense. I think us here in Ireland, unfortunately, we don't have any of those three criteria. And I think a better move for Ireland would be to kind of take a watching brief on this technology. If it works in a number of years' time, if the permitting and licensing, which is a huge barrier to any kind of these very large infrastructure projects, if we can get that right, then it could become an option. But I think the promise of a future technology is not an excuse to do nothing here at the moment. Okay. We are a very polluting country, unfortunately, in Ireland, and we do need to progress our journey in renewables and cleaning up our electricity system with elements there.
Okay, but Sarah, you say that having that sit and wait approach will just leave us on the back foot here.
Well, actually, I agree with what Paul's saying. We don't have enough time to kind of sit around and wait for new technologies. We need to kind of obviously assess everything. You know, the government has made some really good decisions in the last few years to establish various groups to look into hydrogen development, even geothermal, which Ireland isn't particularly well placed geographically for, but it's worth looking into because it is a low carbon technology. And we should take that same approach with nuclear power. And if it turns out we want it in the future, we don't want to be hindered by, you know, 1 or 2 years of pre-feasibility studies that we could do now for no risk and very low cost. And we'd get the support from the International Atomic Energy Agency, which we're already a member of. We're very well set up to just do a pre-feasibility study now, and that will help us if in the future we decide we want it. But Paul's absolutely right. We need to be building as much clean infrastructure as we can. Our next year, Ireland's going to be building 9 new gas-powered plants. So clearly, we still have a lot of issues with developing clean energy infrastructure, so we can't be ruling anything out at this point.
But Sarah, Sarah, to interrupt you, but you know this, the moment you mention nuclear power in this country, there is fear and there is opposition. Now, is that based on evidence or emotion?
Well, I think it's based on history. And it's based on a lot of people's experiences. You know, the anti-nuclear movement in Ireland, coming from the 70s and the 80s, a lot of that was meshed in with fear about nuclear war and at a time when there wasn't really proper environmental procedures in place or assessments in place the way that there are now. There wasn't the same stringent regulation. So I think that, you know, a lot of the original reasons why certain people in Ireland were opposed to nuclear power have changed, and it still isn't for us. That might well be the case, but we will only know that, and if there are public fears, we can only address those fears by having good information and reliable reports, and that needs to come from the government. But there's two barriers in the way of that at the moment. The Housing Committee, the Oireachtas Housing Committee, last week just passed a new ban on nuclear power in the new planning bill that was signed off by Cabinet. So we have these political barriers, much more than societal. And if we think we might have societal barriers, now is the time to address them. Now is the time to do studies and see, look, should we rule this out? Or could we maybe 10 years from now look into this, or whenever we might want it?
Okay, Paul, final word from you on this. Do you think that we're ready to examine this as a possibility?
Look, to be honest, Claire, I'm not a fan of nuclear energy, but I'm not a fan of climate change either. I do think we need to keep our options open. Taking options off the table will just make things harder for us. But I think, again, keeping a watching brief on this, if other countries are able to do it, if it's affordable and if it's safe, and most importantly, if we're willing to live with it, then of course we should consider it as an option.
All right. Thank you both very much for joining us. Coming up next, Ireland is confirmed as co-host of the European Football Championship in 2028. We'll bring you the latest after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.